Good morning. This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities, taking a look at wheat and cattle markets for Wednesday, January 10th. Well, the wheat market's getting some strength again yesterday, so it's trying to regain some traction and regain that upward momentum after a nice start to the year. And then we had a pullback to wrap up last week. But as we come into this week, we're finding that cash basis is finding some nice strength from the end user. Hard red winter wheat basis up 10 to 15 cents yesterday, which is a pretty good pop considering the sluggishness in the futures market. But we see that the end user is struggling to keep that pipeline moving, as we've noted over the last couple months. Basis has continued just to hold strong or push higher, sitting at three-year highs, which is impressive on its own. But what it tells us is that the futures market is doing its thing, continuing to feel pressure from the big traders and just the general bearish sentiment on grains and ags. But in the cash market, all this wheat that's in storage is preventing the end user from having enough supply, and especially the higher quality supply. Although it's worth noting that this basis jump yesterday was pretty much across all the protein levels. So this is just keeping the pipeline moving and getting enough supply. And part of that could be transportation problems because of the ice buildup and the sluggishness and the slowing down of the barges and the rail freight as well. But nevertheless, it does show support in the cash trade, and I think that's ultimately going to spill over to the futures market as well. Another interesting aspect yesterday was Egypt putting out a tender on Monday afternoon and then Tuesday morning not having any offers, which is very unusual. Apparently there was some concern about the demurrage payments and the disagreements that have stemmed from that, but they met with the sellers and figured out what they're going to do with that, apparently, and then the offers started to come. We saw seven offers, six of them from Russia and one from Romania. Egypt ended up buying 115,000 tons of Russian wheat, delivered 207.60 to 208.10, which is pretty much in line with where they bought wheat on December 27th. We did see that freight had increased about 50 cents a ton. The FOB offers that from Russia at 192 to 202, and Romania's FOB offers were 204.75 per ton. Now you compare that to U.S., which did not put out any offers, but looking at what soft red is offered at the ports and that $24 freight to Egypt, that would put us into Egypt at around $211 a ton, which is just about $3 higher than what Egypt bought from Russia. So we're pretty close to being competitive. And what might have kicked us out of there was the strengthening dollar over the last couple sessions, although it's down quite a bit here this morning. So we're pretty close to being competitive into a key market. It's unlikely Russia would let that happen. But as we get into late February and into the March time window, it'll be interesting to see if Russia continues to offer. Now, this is for mid-February delivery, this sale. Normally, Russia would not even be a player in a sale this deep into the winter, but the warm temperatures in late fall and early winter have kept those shallow water ports open and allowed them to be a much more active seller this late into the fall and winter season. That is unusual, and it's allowed them to continue this pace. They're already on a record export pace, and it's kept pressure on the world markets. We also saw another interesting development yesterday with Australia lowering last year's record wheat production from 35 million tons down to 30.3 million tons. That's almost a 5 million ton drop out of the blue and for no explanation. And this is for last year. So it's not even this year's terrible crop that they have. It's an adjustment to last year's big major crop that they had. Now USDA has them at 33.5 million tons as of December's supply demand report. So the trade is expecting that in Friday's supply demand report, USDA will take down Australia's production to that 30.3. So that'll shave off some of the world ending stocks from last year, and of course that'll spill over to this year. We're still looking at record ending stocks, but it does bring it down just a bit. And again, it's surprising that Australia so late does that to last year's crop when, again, they're already looking at a major drop in production for this year. And speaking of crop reports, we've got some major numbers coming at us on Friday. We have the winter wheat plantings report, the quarterly stocks report, and then the monthly supply demand report. Winter wheat plantings are expected to be down a good million plus acres Most of that coming from Harvard winter wheat. So all winter wheat acres is estimated at 31.31 million acres. That would be down 1.38 from last year, which was almost a record low, going all the way back to 1909, excuse me. If we take out that, if we go lower, which everybody seems to agree we will, it's going to push us into new record low winter wheat plantings. So hard red winter wheat is estimated at 22.3 million acres. That'd be down 1.47 million acres. Soft red down at 5.56 million acres is down 50,000. And white wheat at 3.44 million acres estimated, that would be up 20,000. Now those are just the planted acres estimates. As we look at the condition of the crop in the central and southern plains, number one, we had a very dry fall. And so we went into dormancy with crop conditions already declining. And then of course you had this massive cold snap that came through from Kansas on down with no snow cover. And it most feel that there was some notable winter kill. It's just you really can't quantify it until it breaks dormancy in the spring. So already we're talking about losing some acres because of winter kill problems on top of losing acres just that didn't get planted. So you're setting the stage for some pretty big dynamics, I think, in hard red winter wheat. And with the dry conditions having extended from the fall into the winter so far, we virtually have had no precip from the entire state of Kansas on south. And Nebraska is not much better, or Colorado for that matter, but at least they've had some snow cover. But as you look into the major production areas in Kansas on south, they've had nothing. And the two-week forecast doesn't show anything either. So you're going to wrap up January with no precip either for these major production areas. That will extend the drought. You'll see the drought monitors show that. And it does tend to have some correlation between springtime rains and December, January precip. So this now is starting to get a foothold in the market where you're looking at least some evidence that shows precip during the winter tends to, at least to a fairly decent degree, define precip as you get into the springtime. And if that's the case, so far we're looking at a pretty dry spring coming on. And of course you've got La Nina still in effect, affecting mostly South America, but as you get into springtime it does tend to have some impact on the southern plains as well. So none of this bodes well for hard red winter wheat in an environment where you've already got a drop in planted acres. Kansas City has struggled to maintain its premium over Chicago over the although over the last three sessions or so it has moved away and premium to Chicago. The one thing we're looking at here, and I've mentioned this before, is that in Argentina, if La Nina does take hold, and we are seeing an extension of the dry and hot conditions in Argentina, if the corn crop gets into trouble there, that will pull corn higher, that will pull Chicago wheat higher, probably take Chicago premium to Kansas City again, and that will set the stage for some pretty nice opportunities. Because as you start to break dormancy in the southern plains, and that'll be about mid-February for Texas, mid-March for Kansas, we're obviously everybody will be paying attention to this, but you could see those spreads with Kansas City moving premium to Chicago even further, and certainly have some plenty of room to move to the upside as you're basically trading even money as we speak. So those are the dynamics we're looking for down the road. But first we're going to be, you know, bracing ourselves for the crop reports on Friday. Quarterly stocks reports going to show some pretty big numbers there. Ending stocks going to show big numbers. And the trade is expecting that USDA will lower exports for at least corn and soybeans, as they're running way behind the pace needed to meet projections. Wheat is too, and so you might see a drop in exports there, although USDA did that here a couple months ago. So they might wait a month, but we're going to have to catch up fairly quickly to meet the pace needed to meet USDA's projections. Also, one other thing, analytical firm Landworth, which uses satellite imagery to estimate planted acres, they're talking about, and crop conditions, by the way, they are lowering yields for corn and soybeans in Argentina. We've already seen the Argentine government this week start to ratchet down production estimates, and now we see Landworth doing the same thing using satellite imagery. They are also, and this is interesting as well, that they are lowering Russian winter wheat plantings, taking production estimates down about 18% from this past year's huge production season. It's tough to match that. But with winter wheat plantings down a bit, you're going to see a fairly notable drop in Russian production, and that would spill over to their exports as well. So there's a lot coming at this market. We're trying to just to hold together fairly quiet to get prices to be stable coming into these crop reports. And then I think you certainly will see some action off of that. Wheat will probably take its cue from the winter wheat plantings, but also weather and also the corn market as well. So this morning we've got the markets just kind of trading mixed, pretty quiet to start the day. And again, markets probably will stay that way for the next couple sessions. That wraps it up for the wheat commentary. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to call me at 1-800-888-9843 or go to the website, spectrumcommodities.com. Thanks for listening. Have a good day.